Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. We're going to read verses 4 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And let's pray. Father, again, we do need you. Lord, thank you again this morning for what you've done for us, a truth that could transform our life. And Lord, I do pray that tonight you'd allow the Word of God to go deep into our hearts and our minds. Would you allow it to change us so that we could be more like you and less like ourselves? Lord, allow the sword of the Spirit to penetrate deep into the soul and spirit and joints and marrow of our heart. Change us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the Christian life, we are supposed to satisfy our lives by one word, obedience. Obedience. We're not supposed to go around bragging about what we do. We're just supposed to go around doing what God commanded us to do. Now, that doesn't mean that from time to time, for illustration's sake, that it's wrong for you to say, well, I remember when I did thus and so, or I've done that. But when you stand up and you need another hinge on your elbow from patting yourself on the back saying, look what I did, look what I did, that's what's wrong. That's called hypocrisy. You see, we're not supposed to brag about how many people we've helped this week. We're just supposed to help them. We're not supposed to brag about how much money we gave away this week. We're just supposed to help people. We're not supposed to brag about how many opportunities we had to help somebody. We're just supposed to help them. I was pulling up at the gas station yesterday to fill one of the vehicles, and a guy that pulled in just ahead of me, just on the other side of the pump from me there, I noticed he had Michigan tags on. I wanted to spit on his car. No, I'm from Ohio. I just got back from Ohio, and I thought I'll be friendly, find out where he's from. I got out about the same time he did. I howdied with him. I said, hey, where from Michigan are you at? He said, I'm not. Just bought this vehicle. It's got Michigan tags. I said, good, because I wouldn't claim being from Michigan either. He looked at me. I said, I'm from Ohio, man. He started laughing. Now, wait a minute. I thought, I just encouraged his day. That's all I wanted to do. I was able to hand him a gospel tract. He was busy doing what he had to do. I didn't have time to get in a full conversation with him. But at least I maybe lightened the load a little bit. We're not supposed to brag about how much we love. We're not supposed to brag about how much peace we have. We're not supposed to brag about the Christian life. There's only one grace that God says, though, that we are supposed to let people know about. You go through the graces of the Scripture, and there's only one that God says, I want you to make this known. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Ooh. Notice it doesn't say all Christians. It says all men. You see, God commands us to make our moderation to be made known to all men. God tells us that everyone we come in contact with, we're supposed to let them know what our moderation is. Now, I want you to know something. Letting your moderation be known does not mean you're rude, crude, and sociably unacceptable either. I'm just as against a rude Christian as I am a wimpy one. Everybody doing okay? All right. Hang in there. This is not a license for you to go around stick your nose in the air and be rude. If you got your nose that far in the air, honey, I hope you drown when it's raining tonight. See, this is not a command just for you to tell saved people how you are. God said, let your moderation be known unto all people, all men. Now, what in the world is moderation? That is the question. Now, if you'll listen to me, I think I could help you tonight. The word moderation is not what you would think of politically being a moderate, neither hot nor cold. The Bible says that's lukewarm and makes God want to puke. Go to the book of Revelation, you find out you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm. Did you ever drink something, you know, lukewarm coffee? Gag. It's almost as bad as iced coffee. God made the bean to be hot, amen? I'm going to preach truth whether you like it or not. Moderation doesn't mean halfway between hot or cold or anything like that. It's not somewhere in between conservative and liberal. Okay? We've allowed the English language to get twisted around us and perverted. There was a day when the word gay was a good word. Now we've let the perverts corrupt it. Was a day when cool meant something that wasn't hot. There was a day when not meant no. Now it means yes. See how we've corrupted our language? Now, hang in there. I'll help you with something. First of all, what is moderation? First of all, the word moderation means propriety. It means being appropriate. Boy, that's something we all got to work on. God wants you to stand for being appropriate at all times. You know, I think it's... I'm probably going to get in trouble here, but I don't care. I think it's right for you to be appropriate at home, just like it is at public. Hey, that's good. I've counseled too many thousands of people. There's too much nudity and indecent dress in our homes. And we're corrupting our families. Everybody doing okay? Yes. You go through the Old Testament, you find out that a brother wasn't supposed to see the nakedness of his mother or his sister or his aunt or his uncle or his grandma or grandpa. Amen. Everybody doing okay? Yes. And by the way, just because you dig a hole, throw water in it and sand around it doesn't make it right to be naked there. I can say that because nobody's going out in bathing suits right now. I think we ought to dress appropriately. You know, ladies, the way you dress appropriately in public says something. People don't look at you and say, well, I wonder what they are. They wonder how you could be a Christian in public. Everybody doing okay? I'm talking about the way we talk ought to be different. I think that we ought to talk like Christians. You know, I catch myself in public praising God just like I do at church. I'll be walking through the store. I'll be wanting something or see something. I'll say, praise God. Somebody go. When I stopped at Cabela's on the way back from Ohio, I was looking for some rifle shells. Well, I was looking for 243 and 30-06. And I'm looking and looking and looking and looking. Everybody's doing the same thing, you know. We're looking for the same stuff. Finally, I found the 06 shells. I said, glory. Guy looked at me, took a step sideways. He just looked at me. I said, it's okay, I'm a Baptist preacher. Then he walked down the aisle and walked away from me. Thought, good, that's an extra box of shells just for me. Paid off, amen. Even our music. Let me ask you a question. If the world judged you as a Christian by the music you listen to when they hear you, what kind of Christian are you? Teenager, you say, well, I just struggle with rock music. What is there to struggle with? You're either going to listen to God or the devil, period. End of discussion. And by the way, there is no such thing as Christian rock music. That's like saying there's a white black man or a black white man. Unless you're Michael Jackson. And he's dead, so don't worry about it. Folks, there is no such thing. You can't have Christian and rock music in the same sentence and it be accurate. The word rock and roll was a 50s vile terminology. It was street language. You don't put Christian words to what rock and roll was referencing in the 1950s. Amen. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Okay. What about your topics of conversation? Hey, fellas, what do you listen to at work that you should not? What jokes are you laughing at that you should not? Well, I got to work around these guys. You have to work around them, but you don't have to listen to what they're talking about all the time. I've worked in the world. They didn't tell those jokes to me. When I was working in the shop one day, a guy walked up to me and said, "Bush, you got want to hear a joke?" I said, "Is it clean?" He said, "Well, kinda." I said, "Clean by my standards or by yours?" He said, "You wouldn't want to hear it."
Amen.
I said, "Thanks." That's all you got to say. That's all you got to say. I'm talking about, I think we ought to be appropriate with one another. Okay, ladies, if you and your husband are walking into the building or down a hall or something and I greet you, don't get mad because I talk to your husband first. If Brother and Mrs. Lowther are walking down the hallway, I say, "Brother Jerry, how are you? Janice, how are you?" I'll always greet the husband first. Say why? That's appropriate.
Amen.
Don't get mad. It's not because I like him more than you. It's just appropriate. I think that's the way it should be, don't you? I still think boys and girls ought to answer adults, "Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir." My kids are 22 years old, and if they don't say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, I'm still looking at them going, "Yeah, that's your mother." "Yes, ma'am." Say, "You do that?" "Uh-huh." I'm 46 years old and still answer my mother that way.
Amen.
My grandmother is 96 next month, and I still answer her that way.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff.
Amen.
I might as well just shoot the whole wad while I got the trigger pulled. Let me ask you a question. On your Facebook and social networking, how Christian is it? Is everybody you're linked to and that is linked to you showing your moderation? I don't have an account. I can't tell you. Man, is it quiet in here. I must have stepped on something and didn't know it. You know, the word moderation means the direction you're headed. You know, you need to let the world know what direction you're headed. Did you ever follow somebody that didn't know where they were going? That's frustrating. By the way, talk about your direction. When I was going through college and I was working my way through college, my boss knew when I graduated, when my wife graduated, I was leaving the shop going to the ministry. I took the job knowing it was not going to be forever. You say, why? Because I didn't want him fooled. Say, did you get the highest paying job? No, but I got my bills paid.
Amen.
I wasn't going to lie about direction to anybody.
Good.
When I knock on somebody's door about our church, I don't tell them what I'm not. I tell them what to expect. Old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, temperamental, hell-raising, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling Baptist church. We don't play the modern garbage. We're not this newfangled junk. We're old-fashioned. I'm not afraid of it. You say, they might not come. They wouldn't have stayed if they did anyway. I'm not trying to chase them off. I always tell them, try it. You might like it. Amen? So propriety, direction, I love this. It means a resemblance or a copy. it literally has the base or the root word mimeograph. Now that's going way back. Y'all, those of you that are my age or older, you remember those old blue crank things that you cranked out and got your school papers and you had to wait till they dried and they stunk? Oh, that ink stunk so stinking bad. And you always knew whether you got one of the first ones or one of the last ones. First ones were real readable. The last ones, you were like, what's that saying? And you were hoping the smart kid in the class got that because they had to hold it up to read it so you could read their answers, amen? But I didn't do that. God wants to know who or what you want to be like. Let me ask you a question. Who do you want to be like? I can tell you who I want to be like. That right there. That's all I'm worried about. You're going to get tired of this. I don't care. I use the name Jack Hiles frequently. You say why? I served under him. I went to college under him. And after I can reach in a church that's running 25,000 people, baptized as many people in a year, 15,000 people in 1 year, after that, I guess I have the right to decide who I want to be like other than that. Until then, shut your mouth and quit criticizing me. You didn't know him like I did. Amen. By the way, there's a lot worse people in the world I could copy.
Yes, that's
true. I'd like to be J. Frank Norris. You talk about a fiery old cuss. Man, go back and read about J. Frank Norris sometime. Wow. He makes Brother Hiles look like a Girl Scout. He took on organized crime, the mafia. They burned his house down twice and once with his wife and mother-in-law in there. They got out. They burned his house down during Sunday school. His wife was home with his mother-in-law that was sick. They got out. He made sure they were okay, went back and preached morning church service. That's one tough dude. He took on the Southern Baptist Convention and whooped them.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. There's a price to pay for that. Now, just so you know, I like it. I'm for the King James Bible. We're not changing Bibles.
Amen.
Anything else is a perversion. I'm not going to go into it, but nothing else. And it's not just the only one I read from or study from. It is the only one.
Amen.
Period. End of discussion. By the way, I'm not going to go to the West Coast style, new fundamental style, where we're not going to have the follow the screens and the bouncing balls for our songbooks and throw my outlines up. Number one, you couldn't read them anyway. Number two, we're not going to exegete and execute the scriptures either.
Amen.
We're going to preach them the way God did.
Amen.
Say why? I'm not trying to copy what the world does. By the way, the exegetical churches, the ones that teach the Bible exegetically, are the deadest churches. They're as dead as a hammer. And I hate to tell you something. I challenge you, go through that book right there and find one place where it was ever exegeted. Find me one place. Well, those are intelligent people. They're not as smart as you think they are. So, that's what moderation is. Why does God want us to make our moderation known? Number two. This is real easy. I love this. So that the wrong crowd will stay away from you. Do you know I don't have anybody that ever offers me a cigarette or beer? Never. Now, every once in a while, I'll eat in a restaurant, or my family will, that'll serve alcohol, and they'll set the wine list down or something or other, and I'll say, it's okay, I'm a Christian, we don't drink, and they just pick it right back up, never say a word. I don't say, take that filthy, vile stuff away, do you know in the Bible it? I don't go into a sermon. It's not that waitress's fault. She's just doing her job. But I very kindly make my moderation known. I just say, I'm a Christian. I don't drink. You know what? They never ask me again. It's amazing how simple that is. Very rarely do people cuss around me. We were at the hotel this week. I went down early, grabbed some coffee and things while it was early in the morning. I love hotels with 24-hour coffee. Amen. It was early down there. I was going down. I was getting ready to come back up and get the girls moving and stuff. This guy gets in the elevator and he started cussing. I said, "Excuse me." He looked at me. I said, "Sir, I have my Bible and stuff in my hand." I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." He said, "Oh, sorry, Reverend." I said, just watch what you say. It's all I'm asking." I said, "I just don't appreciate people talking about my God that way." Handed him a gospel tract. Man, it was a quiet ride the rest of the way up. Real quiet. I wasn't unkind. I just said, "Excuse me." It was real. By the way, every time he saw me, it was thereafter. It was great. When you let your moderation be known, do you know if you let your moderation known at work, the wrong crowd's going to stay away from you?
Yes, sir. Amen.
By the way, it publicly commits you to do what you said you do.
Amen.
It's a good reason to make some of your decisions public at the altar. Some of you make decisions, but you never made it public, and now you're not committed to it, so you know you can get out of it. You make it public in front of everybody, it's a little harder to get out of it. I love this statement. When you let your moderation be made known, you let the right crowd know who you are too. They know who to join up with.
Yes.
Do you know that you're looking for the right people to make the stands so that you can say, my wife and I were somewhere, then daughter, we saw some ladies that were dressed right. We were in a restaurant or something. And I said, "Look at those ladies, they're dressed right." And then they bowed their head at the table and prayed. I said, "Guarantee they're Christians." I walked over, handed them gospel tracts, found out they went to another Baptist church. They were just very similar to us. See, what was that? They made their moderation known.
Amen.
By the way, I did too. I didn't stand up in the restaurant and say, "All right, holy brethren, you be quiet while I pray." That's stupid. You're a Pharisee. Number next, and I'll finish up here. How do you make your moderation known? How do you actually do it? Real simple. Number one, stand on Bible principles. Stand by Bible principles. Now, everybody look at me. Bible principles are not necessarily preferences. There are some things I prefer, but I wouldn't make my moderation be made known on it. But there are some things I'm not afraid of. Ladies, I think you ought to dress like a lady. Men, I think you ought to dress like a man. I think you ought to wear your hair like a man. I don't think that you ought to look like a woman. Everybody doing okay? I think ladies ought not look like a man. God made you different for a purpose. He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Sodomy is wrong. I'm not afraid of that. Say, you don't call it something else, that's the Bible word, and they hate it. I think we ought to stand for the right Bible. Now, if you're newly saved, you're new to the church, and you've not heard it, and you need taught, great, we'll teach it to you. But don't you get mad if I bring some perversion to the Bible of the Bible to church some night and rip it up and throw it around this room. Say, "Well, that's offensive." Good.
Amen.
Well, it's no different than ripping up some filthy, dirty magazine and throwing it around.
Yes, amen. Yes.
God hadn't blessed it. Just because it's got the name Bible on it doesn't mean anything. You can put the word garage on your house and park your car in your living room, but that doesn't make it a garage. It might make you in the doghouse, but it's not going to make it a garage. By the way, I don't think we ought to gossip. Some of you destroy more people by not letting your moderation be known. Live by your Bible principles when the opposers come. Do you know when you have your Christmas parties at work, you ought not be a part of the drunken festivities?
Amen.
You know, you ought not go to the bar with the guys at work just to be with them. Well, I'll just drink Coke. That's stupid.
Amen.
Ladies, you ought not enjoy the words and the advancements by perverts that you work with.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
You know, the flirts at work shouldn't want to hang around you. Boy, that's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Tell everyone, everywhere you go, that you're a Christian. You know the easiest way to get your moderation be known? Learn how to be a soul winner.
Amen.
Whip that old gospel track out and say, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven someday? Boy, that'll stop it in a hurry.
Yeah.
Trust me, it'll stop it in a hurry. You know, when somebody wants to do something at work or something that's wrong, just look at them and say, I can't do that. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
Well, somebody at work wants me to lie. Just look at them and say, I'm a Christian. I don't do that.
Amen.
They want you to cheat on something at work. No, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. So, well, if I get fired for it, get fired for it, get fired for right then.
Amen.
I don't know many people that have ever been fired because they wouldn't lie to the boss. Just so you know.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
The light of the truth will show the error of darkness. So get ready for name calling and blame. Oh, you holy Joes, you're just trying to show everybody you're better than them. That's how the world attacks. Because light shines brighter than darkness.
Amen.
And light chases away darkness. Now, I'm going to make a statement you might not understand, but hang in there. It's wise to run in with people that have strong moderation.
Amen.
It's easier to make your moderation known.
Right. Yes, sir.
So many people think they're stronger than they are.
Boy, that's good.
I hate to tell you, you're not as strong of a Christian as you think you are. None of us are. None of us are. Boy, that's good stuff. I'm going to make one more statement, and then I have one closing illustration, and then you can go to Dairy Queen and eat ice cream. Be careful drawing your moderation from religions or doctrines you disagree with. Now listen to me very carefully. I've been around Baptists for 47 years. I'm 46 years old. You say, how could you have been around for 47 years? Because I went to church for 9 months before I was born. Trust me. I have a rich godly heritage. I did not get saved because my mom and dad were Christians. I got saved because I was a sinner in need of Jesus Christ as a Savior. And I did it as about a 4.5-year-old boy, Camp Baptist Temple under Dr. Harold Henniger, who was trained by J. Frank Norris. I graduated from Bruce Cummins' Christian school, who was trained by J. Frank Norris. I preached at Akron Baptist Temple as a teenager for Dr. Dallas Billington, who was trained in the early 1930s. Building a church of 5,000 people. They asked me to preach one night when our high school ensemble sang there, and I said, Dr. Dallas, I said, I don't think you want me to, because they had already started changing. I said, I preach like you used to and like the way you were trained. I said, I don't think you want to. They had TV cameras, everything else there. He said, oh, go ahead, young man. That was one that didn't make it to the TV station, amen? When I got done, he said, you're right, I shouldn't have had you. I said, I told you. That was as a teenager. I wasn't afraid of it. Then I went in college under Brother Hiles, worked for him later. I have a rich heritage. I understand Baptists. Back in the 80s, there were family seminars. Bill Gothard. I watch Baptist people flocking to a non-denominationalist to learn how to raise their families. Let's see where the kids are today. I watch people go to good people who believe wrong doctrine to get child-rearing information and get character-rearing information. And I hate to tell you, if you're going to the Amish, the Mennonites, the Quakers, and the Mormons to get things, you're in danger.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I grew up around the Amish and the Mennonites. You're right. They're good, decent people. But their doctrines will lead you down a path that leads your children away from God, not to God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
They might be good, decent, moral people, but they're not biblical people.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
I'm trying to help you. I've been around a long time. You had the Bill Gothard seminars. You had all these other seminars. Boy, what happened to us just going to church and getting everything from the Word of God? I close with this story. I'm done. I used this story yesterday at soul winning, but such a sweet story. Dear friend of mine that I graduated from a Christian school with, her mama was at church Wednesday night. Mrs. Boyd's 85 years old. She's just a sweet old lady. She had six kids, one of which was my English teacher, the other I graduated from high school with. Her husband, Clyde, passed away several years ago. My wife and daughter were standing with me, and she looked at Jeannie and said, "Can I tell them a story about Dad?" She said, "Yeah." So she looked at us, she said, "You know, Clyde was pretty sick, and we knew he was going to die." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, He had several things going wrong with him, but he ended up dying from the pneumonia. She said, the doctors told us it wouldn't be long. She said, he woke up and he went, "Oh," like this. And she said, "Clyde, what's the matter?" He said, "Oh, it just hurts so bad." She reached out and grabbed his hand. She said, "Well, honey, hold my hands." She said, "I'll hold your hands." She said, "It's going to be okay." And she started calming him down and she was holding his hands. They'd been married, I'm guessing 54, 55 years or more. She started talking to him. She said, "Now, Clyde, this time tomorrow, I'm not going to be able to do this with you." He said, "Why not?" She said, "Because you're going to be holding hands with Jesus. You're going to heaven." He said, "Oh, I know, but," he said, "would you just keep holding my hands?" She did. Hours later, probably 10, 12 hours later, he woke up again and like that again. She said, "Clyde," and she reached for his hands. He said, "You can take that one, but you can't have that one." And she said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Can't you see him? Jesus is right there reaching out for this one." He said, "I got to have that one free to hold his hand." He said, "But would you hold that one till I reach his?" In just a little while, he reached out to Jesus with both hands and grabbed his hands. She said, "Brother Bush, it was so sweet. I got to hold his hand while he was holding Jesus' hand. He could see him and I couldn't." She said, "It won't be long. I'll get to see Jesus and reach that hand too, but I think Clyde's going to be there reaching out for the other one." I said, "He sure will." Huh. That's called letting your moderation be known to all men. What a beautiful picture of what the Christian life is. By the way, good man, soul winner, Sunday school teacher, deacon, just a godly man. Huh. Even in his closing moments on earth, letting his moderation be known to all men. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, I don't think it's a license to be rude, crude, unkind. I don't think it's a license to be arrogant. But it's also not time for Christians to be wimpy. It's Time for us to stand up for what's right. Time to do it with dignity, scriptural pride.